done.
Everybody good this morning? Amen. So we're thankful for this opportunity. For my church members, who are some who are here and others who are not, y'all know I love this setting. This is where I enjoy being. I'm typically down here about 3 to 4 times a summer, hanging out with Wise Church or Wise Ministry, and that's here. And that's my buddy right there. That's Kevin Brown and his wife Becky. And so we are thankful that they invited us down again just to hang out with them. They could have got rid of us about 4 summers ago, but they chose not to. Yeah. So he's kind of stuck with us, and we're down here each
you
year.
You still make the trip.
Thank you for that. Amen. Praise God. Listen, you may be seated. Amen. You may be seated. May be seated. May be seated. And so with that being the case, I'm going to take that from you. Amen. Thank you so much. I'm going to sit this down here for just a second.
You need the mic. She said you need the mic.
I need the mic.
That's not coming from me.
Amen. So my wife said I need the mic. Amen. I'm going to stay here for a hot few seconds, and then I'm going to
carry it with you.
It won't forget, brother.
You know, I don't like walking around with a mic in my hand. Amen. So we're going to work through it. Praise God. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me over to the book of John, chapter 4. A very familiar passage of scripture is where we're going to find ourselves this morning. I want to share with you all what the Lord shared with me over the last few days. Really touched my heart. God began to minister to me about some things that is happening in my life. Amen. Nothing bad. Praise God. How many of y'all know that we're just going to go through life, and life is going to present us with all kinds of challenges and difficulties and struggles and all those other things? But one thing I love about God is that He encourages us. He keeps us. And He prepares us for everything we could potentially find ourselves faced with each and every day. And so with that being the case, when you get to John chapter 4, say word.
Word.
All right, so this is what's going to happen. Let's do this. So either we are in a worship or we are in a homegoing service. Amen. So we're either in church praising God or we're at a homegoing service. So which one are we at this morning? We in church this morning? Amen. So because we are the church, I know it's foreign land for most of us and some of us, but we have to get into this habit, you all, of where we're praising God and thanking God. Again, like I said, I know this morning I woke up, so I have arthritis in my neck. Amen. And so I have to sleep with a cervical pillow. And I know each morning I wake up, the pain is excruciating from time to time. But I still get up. I go through my stretches. I thank God that I'm able to do what? Get up. Amen. And that I'm still in the land of the what? Living. Yeah. Praise God. Yesterday, I got tricked by my job. I don't work on weekends, and my job asked me to do a long distance transport. And so I said, sure. So what's supposed to have been a 7-hour round trip was actually 6.5 hours one way. And then it took us 4 hours to get back the next week. That's how bad traffic was on 95 and 64 on this long distance transport. But you know what? Me and my partner, we thank God for traveling mercies. We thank God for opportunity. And we didn't allow the situation or the circumstances to stop us from enjoying the day. Amen. I had so many things that was on my agenda. And I'm just saying this because we have to praise God and have to worship Him. I had so many things on my agenda yesterday because today we leave immediately after this service. We're going to help you pack up though. But yes, amen. We're not going to leave like that because we know that Kevin had to leave out. But after we finish this service, my wife and I, we go on vacation with our daughter and our granddaughter and my son, wherever he is. He's just getting off work. So with that being the case, we're going on vacation for a couple of days, get some rest and all that other good stuff. But with that being the case, I took the opportunity just to thank God. I didn't complain about what things I didn't get done yesterday. I did not. I said, you know what, Lord? Maybe you knew I needed the extra money beyond what I thought I was going to get. Amen. And so I had to change my outlook on how I saw the situation on yesterday. I couldn't get caught up in, well, I had these plans yesterday evening, Lord, to get all this stuff packed up and loaded up in my truck and all that other stuff. No, I thank God for the opportunity. Again, I did not, God may know I need some extra money for something. I don't see this coming down the road. So I took advantage of what should have been a 7-hour trip. Altogether, my work day ended up being 12 hours on yesterday. And so I thank God. Amen.
Amen.
And so we need to get into this praise posture of praising God. Because when you get to heaven, that's all you're going to do anyway. And you're going to praise God when you get there. And so we might as well be in rehearsal. But we're in John chapter 4. And so I'm going to ask y'all again. My wife wants me to hold this microphone. This is going to be very difficult, y'all. But I need to move away from that microphone. Amen. Praise God. I've just not stuck behind a podium all day long. But again, I'm going to ask y'all one last time. At the reading of God's word, let's stand up. Amen. A couple of things I'm going to get you all to do with me as we read God's word. But in my church's customary practices, let me get y'all to do this first thing. Oh, it is the Bible, isn't it? I was going to do another part. My deacon is doing her Bible up real quickly. Amen. Hold your Bibles in your hand. If you don't have a Bible, if you're using your cell phone, hold your cell phone. If you're using a iPad or whatever you might be using, holding your hand, repeat that to me. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. All right, I only hear a few people. Let's do it again. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
For it's the power of God unto salvation.
For it's the power of God unto salvation.
For everyone who believes.
For everyone who believes.
For the Jews first.
For the Jews first.
And also for the Greek.
And also for the Greek.
For in it.
For in it.
The righteousness of God.
The righteousness of God.
Is revealed.
Is revealed.
From faith to faith.
From faith to faith.
As it is written.
As it is written.
The just.
The just.
The just.
The just.
The just.
Just, the just
shall
live
by faith.
Faith.
If you want to know where that comes from, that's out of Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. It doesn't have faith repeated three times. We just do that because we want you to honestly hear that we are the just through Christ Jesus' death on the cross, and that we ought to live by what?
Faith.
We ought to live by what?
Faith.
We ought to live by what?
Faith.
All right. If you believe you should be living by faith, raise both hands high. Repeat after me, say, miracle Lord.
Miracle Lord.
Shower.
Shower.
Me.
Me.
With.
With.
Your.
Your.
Blessing.
Blessing.
That.
That.
I.
I.
Might.
Might.
Be.
Be.
A blessing.
A blessing.
In.
In.
The name.
The name.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Now, whatever it is that you have need of from God, pull down into your heart. Give God a praise of expectation by faith. Amen. Praise God. And when God blesses you, make sure you become a blessing to somebody else. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So in the reading of God's word, John chapter 4, I'm going to read two scriptures out of here. But I want to talk about this chapter 4 because it is packed with so much information that pertains to our life. The whole Bible is. But there's some things I want to share with you this morning as God shared with me, hopefully to encourage you. But yet for all of us to get an understanding of what God expects of us in relationship with Him. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all with me this morning?
Amen.
What God expects of us in relationship with Him. Praise God. So in John chapter 4, I'm going to pick up in verse 21 through 24, and it says this. Jesus said to her, this is the woman at the well, so most of us are familiar with this passage of scripture. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper, when the true worshipers, when the true worshipers, I'm going to say it again, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Amen. You may take your seat in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to talk about this for a few minutes. I promise not to keep you all long, but this thing is so packed. This chapter 4 is so packed in how God expects our relationship to be with Him, and not only with Him, but with one another. Amen.
Amen.
God expects us to be in this relationship that He has hewed out for Him and how we ought to interact with one another. Praise God. And so, again, we're all very familiar with this passage of scripture where Jesus meets this woman at the well. And she's a Samaritan. And Jesus is Jewish. Amen? Now, interestingly enough, if any of you all are familiar with your history, the Samaritans were Jewish people as well. But there was a great divide between them. And I'm going to draw a parallel that some of y'all may like and some of y'all may not like, but I'm going to do it anyway. Praise God, because I want y'all to understand the differences between the two and how much hatred exists between the Samaritans and the Jews. Praise God. The Samaritans were like Democrats. They were very liberal in their way that they approached the lives. And the Jews are like conservatives. They're like Republicans. And they're very staunch and strict on the way that they approach life. Amen. And so if we look at the dynamics today between the Democrats and between the Republicans, we see that there is a lot of animosity and discord and dislike between them. Amen? Can everybody agree with that? Amen? Can everybody agree with that this morning? And so that was that kind of dislike. It was like the Hatfields and the McCormicks. Amen. It was like anyone that you may know of. McCoys? McCormick, I was thinking about some seasoning. I was going to put on some praise God. I got to do some grilling as soon as I get out of here. So I really do. I got to do some grilling. But I was not thinking about the McCormicks, amen, in that sense. But I just said, okay, so I messed up. Praise God. Hallelujah. But Hatfield and McCoys, amen. There was such great hatred between them. And it started years ago. And I can't go into all of the history right now because we will be here for a long time. But there's some dynamics going on here that Jesus must deal with. One of the dynamics is social, the other dynamic is cultural, and the third dynamic is religion. And so Jesus is coming in to tear down their social construct, which was not of God. He's coming in to tear up their traditions, which is not of God. And he's coming to tear up their religion, which is not of God. Amen. Because there in Scripture, Jesus says there's neither Greek nor Jew. Or there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither my mind Scythian or slave. My mind just went out the window in the scripture. But he says all are one in who? Him. All are one in who? Christ Jesus. But before he could go to the cross and put in place salvation, pay and atone for our sins, he had to deal with some issues that were happening in life. Now, when you look at this thing from a historical standpoint, there was a direct path from Galilee to Jerusalem that went straight through Samaria. But the Samaritans were so hated by the Jews that the Jews would much rather take the extra long pilgrimage around Samaria just not to have any interaction with them. That's how much hatred that was going on between them. Everybody's with me this morning?
Yes.
And so with that being the case, now let's pick up in scripture over in verse 4. And build upon the situation. So here it is. It says, in verse 4, it says, but he needed to go through Samaria. Now, prior to this, it says the Pharisees heard that Jesus baptized more people than, than John the Baptist. Amen. But Jesus did not actually do the baptism. Amen. It was some of his disciples who were doing the baptism. And so, therefore, it says in scripture in verse 4 that he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Now we get ready to deal with a social issue. We're about to enter into a social issue right here. So Jesus asked of her a drink of water. This is the woman's response to that. Verse 8, he says, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Now, I think this was strategic. The disciples went into the city to buy food. Because Jesus would not be able to do what he needed to do when people are sitting there warring against one another. He needed to have a situation to where there were no attitudes, there was no conflict, there was no raising attitudes towards one another. He just needed an atmosphere where he could teach the word of God. Because again, he had to deal with some social constructs that were not right. He had to deal with some cultural issues that were not right. And he had to deal with some religious issues that were not right. And so he had to get some people away from him so that he could do the work that he came to do. Amen. And so listen to what the woman's statement was to him in verse 9. Then a woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? She asked that question because she's amazed about how it is that he wants to have interaction with her when there is no interaction between the Samaritans and the who? Jews. How many of us have some people that we just don't like in our lives? Let's just be honest. Oh, y'all knew I was going there, didn't you? There's just some people that we don't want any dealings with whatsoever. Am I true about that? Am I correct about that? And the minute that you see them, soon you see them coming your way, you do just like this. I don't want anything to do with this person. They make your skin crawl, don't they?
Yes.
Who said yes? Praise God. There's some people that you just much rather, as you're passing them by on your daily basis, that you would not want to even say hi to if it saved your life, because you just can't stand the ground in which they walk on. Some people that may have hurt you, some people that you all have some serious differences with, of opinions, outlook on life, some feelings about one another. Some of y'all may be Democrats, others may be Republicans, and y'all are fighting wars between one another that has absolutely nothing to do with who?
Amen.
I'm going to say it again.
Amen.
Some of y'all may be Democrats, some of y'all may be Republicans, and we are fighting wars among each other that has absolutely nothing to do with who? I'm going to say it again. Some of y'all may be Democrats, some of y'all may be Republicans, and we are fighting wars among each other that has absolutely nothing to do with who?
God.
Amen. Jesus. It has nothing to do with Jesus. Let me paint the picture for you again, a little bit more with Samaritans. So one of the problems with the Samaritans was they married outside their race. That was a huge no-no for the Jewish people. That created one big mess. And matter of fact, early on, one of the priests, before, right as the Jews were going into captivity in Babylon, when they went into Babylon, let me just give you this part of history. When they went into Babylon, everybody who was Jewish did not go into captivity. So some of the people who remained at that time, farmers and all that other good stuff, they end up marrying some of the culture that moved into Samaria at that time. And that's how some of the intermarrying became a part. And the Jews felt like they were sellouts. Uh-oh, heard that word before? So they married some of the people that moved into the culture, and therefore the Jews felt like when they was coming out of captivity that these Samaritans were sellouts. How many of y'all called people sellouts before? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. Come on, let's be honest. You're not confessing to me to where I can absolve you of your sins. I'm not a priest, praise God. I'm just a man of God who loves the Word of God. I want to make sure that we have an understanding of how God wants us to interact with one another. Because what you do when you leave from this place today is really, you're held accountable for.
Amen.
All of us are held accountable for. Amen. And so with that being the case, they felt like they were sellout. And so because there was a divide, without going, again, getting too deep into history, there became this part in time where this one priest was kicked out of serving in Jerusalem because, again, his family had intermarried with one of the other women, and so therefore they had nothing else to do with him. So there was a temple built upon a hill, and this is what the woman is talking about right here. For our forefathers say we worship on this mountain. But Jesus, and she says, and you Jews worship in Jerusalem. But Jesus says there's coming a time where you will neither worship there and you will neither worship there. But the Father's looking for men and women who will worship him in what? Spirit and in what? Truth. We'll worship him in what? Spirit and in what? Truth. How many of y'all know that Sunday is one of the most divided days of all the week?
Amen.
Because we're caught up in all kinds of religious and beliefs and traditions and cultures that have absolutely nothing to do with who? God.
Amen.
If it has absolutely nothing to do with who? God. And so what Jesus has come to do is unite us in oneness, that we may walk according to God's word and live out his purpose and his will for our lives. But some of us are messed up by culture. Some of us are messed up by religion. Some of us are messed up by race. Some of us are messed up by political affiliations, that we can't get to where God would have us to be because we can't stand one another. And the Bible says, how do we love God whom we have not seen, but we can't stand our brother who we see what? Every day. I'm going to say it again. How can we say we love God who we've never seen, but yet hate our brothers and sisters who we see what? Every day. That's amazing. Because that's not who God is it? No, it's not. It really is not. That's not who God is. I'm going to keep picking at you all until y'all respond. I'm like a computer. You don't put anything in, you're not going to get anything out. You don't push a button, I don't move. I'm going to stay on this thing until you all give me some amens, until y'all give me some agreements, and y'all start talking back to me, because I want you to learn the Word of God. I don't want you to praise what I'm preaching. I want you to receive what I'm giving so that we all can grow, so when we leave from here, we can be a true witness unto other people about who God truly is in our life. Forget about your religion. Forget about your culture. Forget about your political affiliation. Let's get to where God will have us be, because God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in what? Truth. Not what we make up, not what people have passed down over time, not what people think to be the case, but what does God's word say, which is truth, and therefore how do we operate in that truth?
Hallelujah.
Because other than that, we're spinning our wheels in the mud. Other than that, we're fooling ourselves going to church every Sunday, having a good time, enjoying the praise team, enjoying the choir, enjoying all the aesthetics of how great our churches look, but our hearts are not in the right place as it relates to who God is and how we walk among one another. You don't know how to do that yet?
Amen.
I'm going to get you there. You want to get there?
Amen.
You want to go there? Amen. Praise God. If you want to be free in Christ, Jesus says, he whom the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. God wants to free you of a lot of stuff that we have inherited from our families, our friends, our cultures, everything. Stuff that have just inundated us with things that make us hate one another.
Amen.
And can't stand one another. Stuff that really has absolutely nothing to do with who? God. Nothing. Absolutely what? Nothing. If we're going to read this word and we're going to live out God's word, we can learn to walk among one another and love each other for who we are. Yeah. And it's about being born again. It's about dying to your old life.
Yes.
And coming
yes.
alive yes. in Christ Jesus through the word which God teaches us.
Yes.
So that we become better people.
Amen.
Better people.
Amen.
Better people. God wants all of us to be what? Better people.
Amen.
And I'm telling you right now, if you listen to the word of God. So the first problem, the woman said, how is it that you're having, she's in total awe at this point. How is it that you're having a conversation with me and you're Jewish and I'm Samaritan? Let me tell you what Jesus did that's so important. And I love it. Remember the parable about the Good Samaritan? And are y'all familiar with that parable over in Luke chapter 10? Verse 25 through 37, the Good Samaritan, where Jesus, let's look at this for a second. Turn right here for a minute. You ready to walk with me? What's your name? Barbara. I love you already, Barbara. Praise God. So listen. Look at Luke chapter 10. And Barbara, none of us will ever get there if we don't take time to spend with God. I can tell you that right now. Look at the book of Luke chapter 10. It's in the New Testament. It's the third book of the gospel. Let me help you find it real quickly. Let me help you. For what God does. So there's hatred between the Samaritans and there's hatred between the who? Jews. This woman is in awe about how it is that this Jew is having a conversation with them because there's just pure hatred. It's like in the black community, it's like Crips and Bloods. It's just hatred. As I said earlier, it's like the Hatfields and McCoys. Is that right?
Yeah.
I got it? Not the McCormick's. Not the seasoned salt. But we do have that in my car, though. Praise God. I'm going to make some hamburgers when I'm going to roll on the road there. But let's look at this thing right here. Jesus is so focused and strategic on tearing down this wall of separation between the Jews and Samaritan. He uses this parable in Luke chapter 10, and the dynamics of it is completely crazy to me. The dynamics is completely crazy. So he says this in verse 25. And behold, a lawyer
Let me make sure I'm in the right place. Yeah. Behold, a lawyer, this is one of the teachers, one of the keepers of the word, stood up to test him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now listen to this. Listen to this. Now, I'm going to really mess with you all about your religion, too. I'm going to tear up all your religious beliefs. Because a lot of times the stuff that we get in religion has nothing to do with God. God just wants his word taught. Are y'all with me this morning? So that we all can do what? Grow. So we all do what? Mature. So we all can be the people that God has created us to be. When he says, oh my gosh, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, he says, "For those who are in Christ are new creation." New creation. "All old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New." Now the very next thing he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, "Now all things are of God." I love that word of, O-F, because by definition it means derived from. So all things now are of who? God. So when we are new creations in Christ Jesus, when we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, it doesn't mean that we just presto change, we just become these great people in the Lord. Amen. There's a process to change, isn't there? And so we grow, Ms. Barbara, every day. We read that word, we become more like Christ. So if you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, we're now putting away all our old ways, amen, and behold, things are now becoming what? New. And the very next verse says, everything now is of who? God. But the only way we learn what is of God is by the mere fact that we go into our word, we read it, we study it, we ask God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we may make it applicable to our everyday what? Lives. Now let's get back to Luke chapter 10, because I don't have a lot of time. So in Luke chapter 10, this lawyer asked a very simple question. What must I do to be what? Or inherit what?
Eternal life.
What must I do to inherit what? Eternal life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to spend my time with God?
Amen.
Eternally.
Amen.
Now, most of us who are preachers or ministers of the gospel, the first thing we do, we run into that situation and say, "I want you to say this prayer. I want you to do 15 jumping jacks, 17 sit-ups. I want you to roll over. I want you to do this and all this other thing." But that's not what Amen. Jesus does. Listen to what happens. He asks for eternal life. He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" Jesus wants you to, he wants you to bring to the forefront of your question, your understanding of the what?
Word of God.
Word of God. He calls it the what? Law. Mm. Jesus calls it the what?
Law.
Jesus calls the word of God the what?
Law.
I need y'all to understand something. God's kingdom, in order for each and every one of us to be a part of God's kingdom, there are what? Laws. That must apply to our everyday what? Life.
Amen.
So while everybody's hooked up into this as being a holy book, it really is a book of what?
Laws.
This is really a book of what?
Laws.
I'm going to say it again. This really is a book of what?
Laws.
If you don't believe me, over in Joshua chapter 1, he tells Joshua when he's taking over, and I know we're going to get into this in just a second. He tells Joshua when he's taking over Moses, "Let not the book of the law depart from your what? Mouth, but meditate in it what? Day and what? Night, that you may what? Observe to do according to all that's what? Written in it. Then you," he didn't say he says, "then you will make your way what? Prosperous, and you shall have good what? Success." So your prosperity and your success is based upon you studying and meditating the word of God for who? Yourself. The book of the what?
Law.
Isn't that interesting? So Jesus asked this lawyer a question. He says, "What's written in it? And what's your understanding of the reading of it?"
Amen.
Listen to what happens here. The man says this. So he answers, he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And who else? Your neighbor as yourself."
Amen.
Gotta love who? Your neighbor as your who? Self.
Amen.
You gotta love who? Your neighbor as your what? Self.
Amen.
Now, I asked some of us in here earlier, how many of us can't stand some people that we know, see, or come in contact with throughout the day, week, months, or years? How many of us raise our hand? Some people we just can't stand, right? So listen, the lawyer gets real smart. The lawyer gets real smart, and he says, well, who is my neighbor? Because he wants to justify this thing. He wants to put limits on what loving is all about. Do you not know that when you truly love in Christ Jesus, there are no limits to what you'll do and who you'll do it for?
That's right.
Because you know who God is in your what? Life. Y'all ready? Mm-hmm. So he says, who is my neighbor? Watch what Jesus does. Now, there's a great divide between who? The Samaritans and the Jews, right? There's great hatred there, right? Can't stand each other. Well, it's not really the Samaritans who can't stand the Jews. It's the Jews who really can't stand who? The Samaritans. They felt like the Samaritans were sellouts. Now, I got to share something with y'all. I told you there's three things in here that Jesus is dealing with. And I'm going to come back to about the social construct, about the culture, and about the religion. Jesus tears this thing up. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's jump into this real quick, and I'm going to come back to it, and we'll close out. So he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will what? Live. He asked about eternal what? Life. Did he ask about eternal life? And Jesus says, what is the reading of the law? And your understanding of it? And the man says, love your Lord. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And to love who? Your neighbors as who? Yourself. And so he's asking how to spend eternity with God. Jesus didn't take him through the sinner's prayer, did he? He didn't tell him to repeat after me, did he?
No.
He says, what's your understanding of God's word? What's your understanding of God's word? Because God's people perish for a lack of what?
Knowledge.
God's people perish for a lack of what?
Knowledge.
And God says something interesting. He says, you reject me, I'll reject you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God, to be more careful. Jesus. You reject knowledge? I'll reject your priests and your children. That's what God tells them over in Hosea chapter 4, 6. I'll reject you if you reject me.
Amen.
So here we go. I love this. And so, wanting to justify himself, he says to Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus answered and said to him, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him what? Half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down. A certain who?
Priest.
A certain who?
Priest.
A certain who?
Priest.
Who would you expect to help this man that fell among the thieves but a who?
Priest.
But a priest came down. Amen. And when he saw him, he passed by on the what?
Other side.
Jesus.
This man was in desperate need. Help. He has just been robbed, beaten up. Don't get me wrong. I understand the apprehension of the priest because it was a very dangerous what? Road. And many robberies and other stuff have happened on this road between Jerusalem and, I just lost my train of thought, between Jerusalem and Jericho. And he didn't know if this man was playing or not. He didn't know if this man was setting him up for failure. But he went on and passed him what?
By.
And look what happened now. It says this. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Now, let me bring this to a place of more clarity for each and every one of y'all. The guy that was left half dead was Jewish. The Levite was Jewish. The priest was Jewish. So all of them were Jewish, which means there was no cultural, social, economic or any else divide, they should have been willing to help their own who?
Brother.
Amen.
But they did what? Pass him what? By. How many of us got some people in our lives that we just can't stand? And we would much rather do what? Pass them what?
By.
Matter of fact, some of us have wished ill will on some of these people, haven't we? Come on, y'all. This is good deal. Some of us have wished ill will on some of them, haven't we? I wish you get hit by a truck.
I wish you just fall out and what? Die. I was about to do to you what you just did to me.
There you go.
Don't we do that? Come on, y'all. Y'all didn't know what y'all was coming for this morning, did y'all? But I'm going to tell y'all something right now. When you leave about here, you're going to be either right or you will just reject what it is that Jesus has given, and it's just on you. But at the end of the day, I'm telling you something that's going to help you grow. Amen. They were willing to pass by the very person who they were culturally, religiously, socially, economically, and probably biologically connected to. This man was beaten, left half dead, robbed, left on the side of the road. They all passed him by. But look at this. But a certain what? Samaritan. The guy who should have been the one who passed him by. The one who's been rejected by this culture. The one who's hated by this culture. The one who's mistreated by this culture. He should have passed this guy what? By. But he does not pass him by. Look at what happens. And so it says this. It says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? Compassion.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And because he had compassion, watch this. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. He should have passed him what? By. Why? Because that culture hated him, but yet he demonstrated what? Love.
Amen.
Because he loved his who? Neighbor.
Amen.
Not the person who lived next door.
Amen.
Not the person he was related to. Not his friends. Not people who look like us or we share political affiliations. Not because we share the same social construct or we have cultural beliefs together. No. He loved the very one that was in need of what? Love. Took him to the inn, bandaged him up, and as the guy was leaving, look what happened. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will what? Repay.
Amen.
God. Y'all see the love there?
Yes.
That's a deep love, isn't it?
Yes.
That's an unconditional love. That's an I love you.
Amen.
Not because you love me.
Jesus.
I love you because of who God is in me.
That's right.
Jesus
That's
brings right. up this scenario because he wants you to see how he operates among one another.
Amen.
And so as we fast forward and get back into Jesus' interaction with this woman who's asking, how is it that you're having this conversation? Jesus says, because I love you. That's what it boils down to.
That's it.
It's love. Jesus came to destroy the hatred that was there. So here's the 3 things, and we're going to get out of here, because I got a lot more to teach about this, but for you all who are part of the morning crew, we're going to get into this thing. Huh? In the morning. Praise God. Listen. Yeah, my wife told me to get outside. She just told me, you're going to be doing that outside. Amen. Because we're on vacation. Amen. Praise God. But listen to this. So here's what's important, what a lot of times is not taught in this scripture, and a lot of times that we miss in this scripture. First and foremost, socially, there's not supposed to be a conversation between a woman and a man in open public during that time. If you go to verse 27, go there real quickly. Go to verse 27 in Luke chapter 4. Go to verse 27, Luke chapter 4. Listen to this real quickly. There was not supposed to be any conversation between a man and a woman that were not married in the open market or the open air or out in society. If you look at Luke chapter 4 and you look at John chapter 4. I said Luke. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm running ahead of myself. But if you look in John chapter 4, let's get back to the conversation real quickly, because we got to get out of here. I know y'all ready to go home. I know y'all tired of me already. That's fine. I get it.
You're good.
I'm good. Amen. I'm not going to take up people's time, though. I'm not going to be how I used to be. When people say, you're good, I just used to run on. We're not going to do that anymore. But listen to this real quickly. Over in verse 27. Now, there's not supposed to be any conversation between men and women in open society, because it is a societal no-no. Women were looked at as property. Women were property. Remember that old saying, you can beat her within the rule of a thumb?
Yes.
Legally, they could take a stick the thickness of a thumb and beat a woman for no reason. Isn't that crazy? That's what the rule of thumb is. You could take a stick in their culture and beat a woman. The thickness of that stick could be a rod, could be the thickness of your thumb, and you could beat her and not be legally charged with anything. Is that not crazy? So women were treated as property. But in the beginning, God says, let them be male and female. Give them dominion. Them, dominion. God never saw women as what? Property. Uh-oh. God never saw women as less than. So Jesus is coming now and kill this social construct. He's breaking this thing. In verse 27 of Luke, of John chapter 4, it says, and at this point his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a who?
Woman.
They were messed up. They were totally messed up. Jesus, first of all, he done messed this woman up because he's having a conversation with her because she can't believe it that a Jew is having a conversation with a Samaritan. Now the disciples are messed up because they can't believe that Jesus is having a conversation with a who? Woman. Jesus is killing the social construct. He's killing a cultural mess. And now he's going to destroy their religion by saying, you worship on the mountain and they worship here, but God's not looking for them. God's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and truth, right? Amen. So now let me stop right here. Let's cut this thing out right here. Let's look at what spirit and truth look like. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Uh-oh. Y'all ready? Y'all give me 4 minutes and we're done. Here we go. Spirit and truth. There's a wrestling between our flesh and our spirit. There's a war going on. Waging. There's a war waging within each and every one of us. Because you do something wrong to me, I'm going to do what?
Something wrong.
Come on. Yeah, work with me, y'all. You do something wrong with me, I'm going to do what? I want to do something wrong to you. You hurt me, I want to do what? There's a war waging in our what? Flesh. And our flesh can never be pleasing to who? God. This is why we hate one another. We have all this buildup. This stuff that people have misled us in. This stuff that people say, well, this is the right way when it is not the right way.
Amen.
But people say, that's wrong, you do that. No, that's not what God said.
Amen.
With this, truth is God's word. So look over here. There's a waging of war in our flesh. And so when we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the what?
Spirit.
Can y'all hear me real quick? Quickly. Verse 16 says, walk in the what?
Spirit.
That's capital S. Not lowercase. So the capital S refers to who? The Holy Spirit. So if you want to worship God in spirit and truth, you got to walk in the what?
Spirit.
Now some people say, well, I don't understand that, Pastor. But what does walking in the Spirit look like? When we go down to verse 17, it says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to one another, so that you do not do things you what? Wish. The Spirit is warring against you in your carnality. God's Spirit is fighting against you so you don't do the things you what? Want. I just said it just a minute ago. Somebody hurt you, you want to do what?
Back.
Somebody say something negative about you, you want to say what?
Something negative about you.
Somebody make fun of you, you want to do what? My family hate you, so I what?
Hate you.
I don't even know you. My friends are not your friends, so you're not my what? Y'all got quiet on me. What in the world? So there's a fighting going on. You ain't part of my set. So I don't care nothing about you. watch this then. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not underneath the law. So God is looking for those who will worship Him in what? Spirit and truth. And so worship is your act. Worship is your attitude. Worship is your belief system. Worship is everything that you do and how you honor God in your life. Amen? And so He says, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so here it is. Here is the flesh at work. Verse 19. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of what? God. If we got hatred for one another, you will not inherit what? The kingdom of what? God. Got to be more careful.
Amen.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that deep? God knows our hurt. God knows our pain. God knows what people have done to us. And He says, vengeance is what?
Mine.
God says, I'll get them back. And I know it's hard for us because of things that we were taught growing up, what our family put into us. But everything that was put into us was not necessarily what? Good.
Amen.
So here's where I close. You want to know how to worship God in spirit and truth? It's in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what?
Love.
What's the next one? Come on, y'all. Y'all too quiet. What's the next one?
Joy.
What else?
Peace.
What else?
Patience.
What else?
Kindness.
What else?
Goodness.
What else?
Faithfulness.
What else?
Gentleness.
What else?
And self-control.
You want to learn how to serve and worship God in spirit and truth? There it is. Galatians 5:22. He says, for such against there is no what? Law. So if you practice these things, you don't hurt, offend, or do anything that's contrary to the what?
Law.
Amen.
Whose law?
God. Amen.
So we have to learn now to love. Is it the one you're with? I'm sorry, that's a song. My bad.
You
gotta
have a new attitude.
Gotta have a new what?
Attitude.
Amen, amen.
Gotta have a new what?
Attitude.
My God. Look at all the stuff that we gotta tear down in our lives.
Yes.
And what we got to do to rebuild.
Amen.
Even though people have what? Hurt us.
Amen.
Even if people have cheated on us.
Yeah.
Even if people have done us wrong. And y'all know my favorite. Just because you gave somebody a spot to cut in front of you while you're driving down the street, they say thank you so much.
Amen.
What did you lose? What did you lose?
Nothing.
What did you lose?
Nothing.
Just because they didn't say thank you, what did you lose? And why did you do it? All this foolishness of our flesh. I can't go any further than you all. There's just so much to cover. There's so much to cover. Oh, can I give y'all one more? Jesus told that woman to go get her what? Anybody remember? Her husband. And she says something that's interesting. She says, I have no husband. Jesus says, you have rightly said, for you have had how many? Five. And the one that you have now is not what? Yours.
Amen.
And by law, she's in adultery. And what should have happened to her?
Stoned.
She should have been killed.
Yeah.
She's an adulteress, you all, if you don't understand, five times over. Five times she should have been what? Stoned. Could you imagine how Jesus, God, walked right past her adulterous ways because he was not accepting of her adulterous ways. He understood that she was in a bad condition and state of mind. And so instead of stoning her, he wanted to save her.
Amen.
Five times she was an adulteress. She should have been killed. Over in John chapter 8, they bring a woman to Jesus and say, we caught this woman in adultery. Moses says in the law, she should be dead. What you say, Jesus? They say, Jesus just kneeled down in the dirt and started writing. And then they said, ye without sin, you cast. Bible says Jesus looked up, and from the oldest to the youngest, they all did what? Disappear. He looks at the woman and he says, woman, where are your accusers? She says, I have none. And he says, and neither do I accuse you. This is the Lord. I don't accuse you. But go and what? Sin no more. I'm not excusing your behavior. But neither am I going to condemn you and kill you. Because the book over says in John chapter 3, 17, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn it, but to what? Save it. We like 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But we forget 17. He did not send his son into the world to condemn it. So why are we condemning one another so much? Why do we hate each other so much? But to what? Save it. Amen. We got to get out of here, you all. Miss Barbara, you want to give your life to the Lord today? Huh? You want to think about it? We want to break some of those things that you want to get rid of?
No.